Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at rewfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to each and every one of you and a happy Thanksgiving on this Thursday afternoon. I hope it's a safe and happy holiday for each and every one of you. Some of you obviously have had your dinner, others of you haven't. But we're going to give you a show this afternoon, which we're looking forward to. We're going to hear from Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach at Penn State. They play tomorrow in the Jordan Center against one another. We'll follow it up with Bill O'Brien. Follow that up with Matt McGloin. Then we'll revisit the week that we had with Rutgers and with Maryland, both entering the Big Ten Conference. There's a lot to get to here over the next couple of hours. Today's show on News Radio 1070 WKOK on this Thanksgiving, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Again, that's 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Well, it's been an incredible week news-wise. Michael Motti, of course, out for the year for Penn State after his injury against Indiana last week. There's only one game left. It's Saturday. He can't play in the game. Mike Hull will get the start for the Nittany Lions Saturday. And Tim Frazier, out for the year, ruptured Achilles, had surgery on Tuesday. Now it's bounce back time for him. He can apply for a medical hardship in a fifth year, which I fully expect him to do, and then be a part of the mix next year. Penn State is a team next year with Frazier back, along with DJ Newbill and the recruiting class, could be next year a 15-21 team. But they have to survive through this year first, and it starts with Bucknell on Friday at 4:30 in the Jordan Center, 4 o'clock the airtime on the Penn State Sports Network. We're going to talk about that and much more as time goes along today. But before we get to any of that, time now for Above the Noise. Here is Dan Patrick.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570 286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio on this Thanksgiving day. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. What a week in the Big Ten. As a 12-team conference goes to 14 and the door now wide open to 16. You look at how everything's played out, and it went 1953, Michigan State entered the Big Ten. I think they were the first team in the conference since 1917. Chicago had dropped out before this, but they brought in Michigan State in 1953. They then waited before they made their next expansion by 37 years before they then brought in Penn State, extended in 1989 in December, but made official in June of 1990. And they didn't do anything else for 21 years until they brought in Nebraska. And now, in rapid fire, they have brought in Maryland on Monday and Rutgers on Tuesday. Some are saying, what does it add to the Big Ten profile? Well, it certainly adds money. It certainly adds homes to the footprint. It certainly triples, has the potential to triple BTN rates that are paid on cable systems. And you'd see, you know, for people in New Jersey and Maryland, you'd see just cents. I mean, it's no big deal. You'd see probably a 25-cent increase in your bill. That's what it means. But you multiply that times 16 million homes, and now you're talking about some serious cash. Serious cash. That's increased money. That's increased money with 16 million homes. So that door is open for the Big Ten, opening up in the Baltimore-Washington corridor, in New Jersey, suburban New York, suburban Philadelphia, Trenton, Atlantic City, all up and down because Rutgers is the State University of New Jersey. Many times, and you'll hear from Jim Delaney a little bit later in the show, he credits Penn State and that bridge to the east, which makes sense. And when you look at the footprint of the Big Ten, Rutgers and Maryland are both closer to Penn State than Wisconsin in Madison is to Champaign, Illinois. Just physically closer. Many have criticized that and say you're diluting the product. Expansion dilutes the product. Yesterday, Dan Patrick, and I agree with a lot of what Dan Patrick usually has to say, and I think in this case I will say he's right, and I'll also say he's wrong. I understand the romanticism of going back to a simpler time. And there are many, many times I wish we would go back to a simpler time. But that's not the reality of the situation. And also, a simpler time isn't always the solution. As I pointed out on yesterday's show and tried to, in a rather animated way, I thought, discuss what the Big Ten was like football-wise before Penn State got in. I mean, from 1968 until 1992, you're talking, that's 25 seasons, 24 years, 25 seasons. It's Michigan-Ohio State, Michigan-Ohio State. Okay, Iowa won a share that year. Okay, Illinois won it that year, went on probation for it with Mike White. Michigan State had a couple years, one with George Perlis when they went to the Rose Bowl. Other than that, it's been in Michigan, Ohio State every year. Since Penn State came into the conference, things changed. Of the 12 schools, 9 of the 12 have won Big Ten championships over the last 20 seasons. And if Nebraska completes its mission, Nebraska is going to make it 10 out of 12. Nebraska beats Iowa tomorrow. They play Iowa tomorrow with a Friday game. They'll win the Legends Division, then they'll play Wisconsin for the championship. Team they rallied and beat in Lincoln 30-27. And if Nebraska were to win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl, that would be 10 out of 12 schools in the last 21 years winning at least a share of the Big Ten championship. Okay, that's balance. That's better. That's far better competition, far more competitive. Romanticizing the days when Ohio State and Michigan, it was their game, and then they go and tank it in the Rose Bowl because they just weren't good. I mean, I'll tell you a big reason why Ohio State and Michigan lost Rose Bowls repeatedly under Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler. They weren't ready to play. Just weren't ready to play and not good enough. Not challenged enough during the course of the year. Only challenged in one game. Why is the Big Ten had better success in the Rose Bowl and in BCS games? A lot better success. Penn State's won a Rose Bowl and a BCS game as the conference champion. Ohio State won the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago. There's better competition in this conference now. That's why Penn State can go to a Capital One Bowl, the 2010 Capital One Bowl, and win and beat LSU. Better competition. The reason Ohio State and Michigan repeatedly lost in the Rose Bowl over the years is, number one, Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler. You could not handle the time off and prepare their teams properly. And number two, they weren't good enough. They weren't tested enough. They got into a tough game, didn't know how to react. Simple as that. That's why, I mean, Bo Schembechler's Rose Bowl record is just, I mean, it's off the cliff. Not good enough. When you're challenged only once a year, now you see Wisconsin goes, they win bowl games. Penn State has won its share of bowl games. But overall, and it happens because there's better week in and week out competition. I mean, they, you know, and that's a big reason why. You have more competitive teams now, better games week in and week out. You don't see two teams winning games 49-7. And then playing one big game and, you know. Well, I mean, you know, why do you think Bo Schembechler came up with this thing about it's more important for us to win the Big Ten championship? Really? Okay. He said that because that's the only championship they could win. You weren't good enough to win the whole thing. You're not good enough to win the whole thing. You then do the fallback. Not winning the Big Ten is the most important thing. It's a nice sentiment. Winning the Big Ten is a stepping stone to winning the whole thing. And Big Ten championships are very important. They're cherished. But the ultimate goal is to win all of it. And the Big Ten, before Penn State came in, was not a competitive conference. The Big Two, Little Eight scenario is not a scenario you want. Big Ten was always, you know, good in basketball. Indiana was always great in basketball. Purdue's always been very good. Michigan certainly has been good. Michigan State. Yeah. But you move forward. And part of moving forward, for example, is what the Big Ten did starting in 1997. 1997, they started the 97-98 season, the Big Ten tournament. The Big Ten, before the conference tournament, was in a massive lull of teams advancing in the NCAAs, a massive lull. It's no coincidence that once you get into a one-and-done scenario in postseason and it instills something in your head about how to play one-and-done, it then allows you to advance in the NCAAs. It just does it every time. I mean, and that's the big part about the tournament now, the Big Ten tournament, the advent of that. Yes, it's a moneymaker, but competition-wise, is it any surprise that you've seen Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State move on and win and get to the Final Four? Is it any surprise you've seen Purdue in the Elite Eight how many times? Is it any surprise in all this that Minnesota, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State have all won the NIT since the advent of the Big Ten Conference Tournament? Things are better now than they were 25 years ago. And it's interesting now that every player in this conference, except for the seniors, okay, Okay, anybody who's an underclassman in the Big Ten wasn't born yet when Penn State got in. That's how long the Nittany Lions have been in it. So, you know, to players, they're an established player in this whole thing. Now you hear Jim Delaney talking openly about the bridge that Penn State created to Rutgers and Maryland. We're going to hear from the conference commissioner in the next hour. Now, coming up for us in the next half hour, it's Penn State Bucknell tomorrow at the Jordan Center. This will be a 4:30 start on the Penn State Sports Network. We're on beginning at 4 o'clock. Doug Birdsong will have the Bucknell broadcast on Eagle 107 tomorrow. And looking forward to seeing Doug over at the Jordan Center. We'll have our show from the BJC tomorrow, which we're looking forward to. We're going to hear from Dave Paulson out of the news at the bottom of the hour. Then we're going to hear from Patrick Chambers. After that, we're going to hear from Bill O'Brien on the Nittany Lions preparations for Wisconsin. Then we'll hear from quarterback Matt McGloin. And we also have Darrell Clark coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So we have a lot going on today. A lot going on that we're looking forward to on this Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's having a great time in this Thanksgiving. Sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying. Maybe traveling right now. Traveling, of course, you're listening to this show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. From all of us to you, a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow from the Jordan Center, broadcasting Penn State basketball. Yes, Tim Frazier's out. Get Patrick Chambers to address that in the next half hour. But it's going to be a great game between two schools just 50 miles apart. We're going to hear from Dave Paulson in a few moments. And then I get ready for Penn State and Wisconsin Saturday at Beaver Stadium at 3:30 on what will be an emotional senior day. 31 Nittany Lion football seniors plus three managers will run through that Beaver Stadium tunnel for the final time in their respective careers. And you'll hear the emotion of Jordan Hill and Stephon Morris in the next half hour as well when they talk about what it means to them to run through the tunnel for the final time. But before we get to any of that, time for news here at the bottom of the hour. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit at rewfinancial.com. Come back with the second half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving day. Hopefully you're enjoying your trip if you're in the car right now listening to the show, which is great. It's great to have you on board. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow from the Jordan Center for Penn State Bucknell. We'll talk about that with Dave Paulson in a few moments. And then hear from Patrick Chambers before the half hour is out. And then Saturday. Can't wait to talk to you Saturday with Jack Hamm from Beaver Stadium when the Nittany Lions take on Wisconsin in the season finale. Jack and I were talking just the other day. Wow, 8-4 seems so much better than 7-5. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Bucknell is 5-0 on the season. They're off to a great start. And we bring in Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Dave, what are the common threads in all five of those games that show you that your team is moving forward?
Well, it was really gratifying to me. Our guys played so well, executing two really vastly different defensive game plans. We played a team in Niagara on Friday night that was averaging 14 made threes a game, spread you out, play four, sometimes five guards at a time, play really, really fast. They got off to they were up by 12 on us in the first half, and we really buckled down defensively and did a great job. And then the next night we played New Mexico State with a returning WAC champion that's got a huge front line, one of the best offensive rebound teams in America, really wants to pound the ball inside, and we had to sag in the paint and double-team the post and do everything like that. And so for our guys in less than 24 hours to really play against two high-level athletic teams and play a different style each time and be effective was really gratifying.
Yesterday you had five players, or the last game against West Alabama, you had five players off the bench play double-digit minutes. What have you seen from the bench group that allowed you the depth to get through a tournament like this?
Well, we needed that, and admittedly our third opponent, West Alabama, was not, not nearly as the caliber of the first four teams we played. I thought we played four really good teams in Purdue and George Mason and Niagara and New Mexico State, and four really athletic teams. So it's good that we had, you know, a little bit of a breather, if you will, to allow us to play our reserves, because we have some guys in our team that have really played very, very well in practice, in spurts, or maybe not as consistent as the guys who play the majority of our minutes. But we really wanted to be able to work with them and develop them, because if we're going to be really good at the end of the year, we're going to need two or three guys who are playing, you know, just spare minutes right now to really emerge and be able to really help us in big games.
Dave, you gave up just 49 points against New Mexico State. What does that tell you about a team that's understanding the concept of defense?
Well, I think, you know, I think these guys are really bought in. We've really stressed that we'll go as far as our defense takes us this year. And we really need to collectively pick it up, because we don't have the one individual stopper that we may have had in the past. And I think it really shows that our guys are bought into that. We're able to do more of a variety of things defensively in terms of our rotations and some of our coverages, because of the maturity of our team and the experience of the guys. And so they're really bought in. Now, we know we're only as good as our next performance, so, you know, we know we have plenty of challenges ahead, starting with Penn State on Friday. But we're happy with the progress we've made up to this point.
Mike Muscala is going to get attention on every scouting report, which he has the last couple of years anyway. How does he handle that part of it? How pleased with you with his response to knowing that he is the guy that they look at right away as the number one guy they must stop?
Well, the thing that I loved was against Niagara, they were really manhandling him, and we weren't getting the call. He was not getting the calls. And, you know, one of the other coaches, a coach from New Mexico State, was there scouting. He said, boy, I was watching that game. I was sitting right there. They were manhandling the scout, and he didn't say a word. You know, he just played, and he just kept his composure. And, you know, then he got a foul, a couple of calls, you know, when they put two hands on him and pushed him and shoved him. And then the next day against New Mexico State, when they're doubling him, you know, he found guys. I think he had five assists in that game. So, you know, he's unselfish, and he's just going to take what the defense gives him, and he just continues to mature every day.
You mentioned the five assists that he had. You have four players right now that either have 10 or 11 assists on the season. How do you feel about the way they're spreading the wealth among each other?
Well, it's an unselfish group. It's a veteran group, you know, guys with high basketball IQs, and nobody really cares who scores. You know, people might say that, and they may not actually mean it, but these guys mean it. They don't care who scores, and they're just happy if their teammates get the open shot. And so, you know, I think we're assisting on a high percentage of our baskets, and we have, you know, we don't have that one dominant playmaking person who's going to, you know, be hands down lead us in assists. We've got a lot of different guys who are willing and able to distribute the ball.
Bryson Johnson has hit 45% of his threes to this point. What has that meant to the offense, and also what has it meant actually inside as well for you, because he has been able to do that?
Well, he's played really well. Cameron Ayers has played really well from the perimeter. We had a guy named Ryan Frazier, a freshman, who really sparked us with 12 points against Niagara, kind of kept us in the game. And that opens things up for Mike and Joe Willman inside. And so that's really important. And Bryson, it really has the ability to hit some tough shots. And, you know, you want to get easy baskets. You want to run your offense. But sometimes against really good teams, you just got to hit a tough shot late in the possession when the shot clock's winding down. And he has an uncanny ability to do that and kind of bail us out at times.
Dave, how do you feel about the defensive rotation so far? It takes a while sometimes for teams to get rotations. How well is this team doing with it?
We're doing pretty well. You know, we struggled early in the first half against Niagara, but did much better. You know, I think the guys are understanding things. They're understanding the nuances based on how each individual team wants to attack us. You know, so that we're always playing our man-to-man defense, but it's flexible enough to take into account what the other team is trying to do and try to combat that.
You have Penn State coming up next. Initial thoughts on Friday's matchup?
Well, one, you know, we're excited to be playing the game, and very appreciative of Patrick Chambers for returning my calls, you know, and agreeing to play the series. You know, we trusted 3 years with no success, and, you know, Pat is just, you know, really accessible and you're just a great ambassador for Penn State. So, you know, one, we're excited about it. I think hopefully it's certainly everyone in this area is excited about the matchup, and hopefully the people in the state college area as well. I mean, you got two good basketball teams and two programs, I think, that reflect playing hard and playing unselfishly. So it's exciting. You know, we know it's going to be a challenge playing on their home floor. You know, we're just now, of course, we didn't have to come as far as they are coming back, but we're in a little colder climate than they were as well. But I think we're just now starting to turn our attention towards Penn State. It's going to be a great matchup.
I just want to add, into the future, though, the fact that this is not only being played Friday, but the fact that there's a return game to Soica, which has never been a part of this mix, what does that mean to two schools that are 50 miles apart?
Well, again, all the credit goes to Pat Chambers because he didn't have to do that. The thing that he told me is like, hey, I want to play you guys because you got a good big guy. We got to play against good big guys in the Big Ten. It's going to make us better. And he goes, and I want to come and play at your place because you got a hostile environment and crowd gets to know it. And we're going to have to play in hostile environments on the road. So, but it's great. I mean, it's going to, when that game is, we're still finalizing what year the return game will be here in Soica. It's going to be an electric atmosphere.
I campaigned for it internally for a long time. I said, let's go Bucknell. And they're like, so I'm glad it's going to happen. Can't wait to see you on Friday. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And to you and yours, your team, your family, Dave, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. All right, so now you have the Bucknell side of the story. Let's get to the Penn State side of the story. It's a different side of the story compared to what the story that you heard from Bucknell. Things are great. They're 5-0. Penn State, they played in a tough tournament down in Puerto Rico. A very tough tournament. You're talking about some really good competition. NC State, Akron's really good. They were able to pick up a win in the middle of this against Providence, which was depleted at the moment. But it was in the Akron game on Saturday where Penn State absorbed a blow that's one of the toughest in the country. 58% of Penn State's offense last year went through Tim Frazier, assist points and so forth. Ruptured Achilles, had successful surgery on that Tuesday. Head coach Patrick Chambers of the Nittany Lions and the loss of his point guard.
Obviously, my heart goes out to Tim Frazier. Since my short time here, he's done everything I've asked him to do, and then some, and then some. But he's resilient. He will persevere. He will rebound from this injury, and he will come back bigger, better, and stronger, which is scary, which is definitely scary. But we've all been through our adversities, my challenges. I've spent a lot of time with him the last 24 to 48 hours going over my adversities and my challenges out throughout my life and how I handled them. And there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad. And we all are aware of that. And we're going to be here for him. And that's what you do as a program, as a family, as a staff, as a team. When one of your guys go down, you want to be there for them and pick them up. And that's what we have to do. But what I would also tell you is now somebody's got to step up. It's a great opportunity for some of our freshmen and some of our guys who've been wanting to play and want to step up. They have to step up. And we always talk about a purpose, play with a purpose. And maybe Tim Frazier's just that purpose that you need to play a little bit harder. It can be from anywhere from 6 to 12 months, but it looks like, I'm very hopeful. He seems like he heals quickly. So I'm hopeful for 6 months and I'll have him back for the summer because he had a great summer. He's had a great summer, great preseason. That's why you feel for him. You feel for him. We have to just keep it going because we've been working on this since July. I think DJ's very capable of playing the point and distributing. But Jermaine Marshall and Ross Travis, they have to step up.
Without question, they do. And that's Patrick Chambers on the loss And it's a very tough loss for Penn State. You're talking about 58% of your offense. And I'll be honest with you, Bucknell did not have a very good matchup against Tim Frazier. I think Dave Paulson has a really good basketball team, and they are going to challenge Penn State in many different areas in this game tomorrow. But the one area he did not have a good matchup, and that was at the guard spot against Tim Frazier. He didn't have a good matchup against him at all. Now, that's been eliminated. And, again, obviously, very, very tough for the Nittany Lions, but they'll have to bounce back. They'll have to show some resilience and bounce back from all this. So that will be tomorrow. It'll be at 4:30 at the Jordan Center. We're on the air at 4 o'clock, by the way, Eagle 107, with Doug Birdsong as the Bucknell broadcast at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So, you know, that's just just file that away for whatever broadcast you prefer. And, of course, we'll have it here for you on News Radio 1070 WKOK, including, obviously, we're going to have the gang out there tomorrow. So looking forward to that. All right. Darryl Clark next half hour. Head coach Bill O'Brien, senior class very special at Penn State. They've endured more than any other senior class. He talked about them and the game with Wisconsin that will be taking place Saturday at Beaver Stadium. We're going to have this as a 3 o'clock kickoff, 2 o'clock the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Really, it's hard to put into words, Rich, in my opinion, what this senior class means to this football program, to this athletic department, and to this university. You know, these are young guys. These are young guys that have been through a lot. You know, they've been through a lot off the field. They've been through the death of their former head coach, a legendary coach. They've been through all the things that went on off the field that, you know, don't need to be repeated. You know, we just all know. And they've hung tough. They've been through dealing with the NCAA and the sanctions that came out in the summertime. They've been through the fact that they had to lead this football team and keep these guys together. You know, so at the age of 21, 22, some of them 23 years old, you know, that's pretty heady stuff, and you can't say enough about them. And I think that the people have to understand, you know, within those walls over there at the football building, these guys will always mean a lot to this football program, mean a lot. And you know, again, the other thing I would say is the first year of a new football program, a football program that is steeped in tradition and history and millions of wins and all those things, but you know, we did things a little bit differently. You know, it's new. A lot of things are new, and they had to learn new things and lead it. And so you just can't say enough about what this senior class has done and what they mean to everybody involved with Penn State. And not to, I know it's a long-winded answer, but you know, one of the things I want to make sure that everybody knows is at 3 o'clock on Saturday, we need everybody here. We need everybody here because we're going to honor this senior class and their families. And so that's a big deal. And I know that we've honored the seniors in the past, but I don't think we've included their families. And so we're gonna honor. That's the least we can do for this senior class is this particular one this year is honor them. So we need everybody in their seats at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I do have to say, Frank, that they've definitely exceeded my expectations on what we could do offensively, and we can still do a lot better. But I wasn't sure. I knew it was a difficult offense to learn. It's difficult for an NFL rookie or an NFL veteran that comes into this system to learn. So I knew that it wasn't going to be easy to learn. And you know, man, these guys worked at it, and we say this the last couple of weeks. We've said this quite a bit, you know, in practice when we're watching the post-practice film as a staff. You know, wow, these guys have come a long way since spring practice. You know, we can remember those early days of spring practice, and it was a struggle. And you know, these guys put the time in, and they're smart, they're instinctive, they work at it, and that's what it's all about. It's just it takes hard work, and they put the time in, and so they've definitely done well to accomplish the things that they've accomplished. I mean, again, you know, I'm not a mind reader. You know, I just know what I see. I see a bunch of guys that enjoy playing football for Penn State and come out to practice every day and play hard. I you know, Obviously, I believe that everybody will be back that's eligible to be back next year. And but again, I'm not, you know, I'm not, like I said, I don't have a crystal ball and I'm not a genie, but I think that they know that they can they can achieve a lot of their goals here. Can they win a national championship or a Big Ten championship in the next 3 years? No. I mean, we know that. So why tiptoe around it? But can they give themselves an opportunity to get a fantastic degree? Can they give themselves an opportunity, if they produce on the field, to play pro football? Can they play, in my opinion, a fun system on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, a defensive system that blitzes and plays man coverage and plays zone coverage, an offensive system that throws it around a little bit and runs the ball, and, you know, we have fun in practice? I mean, that they have that all here. They got a great facilities. They have an excellent coaching staff. They have a strength staff led by Craig Fitzgerald that's one of the best in the country in a weight room. I mean, that's incredible. So, you know, what else? You got a fan base. You got 100,000 fans at every game. I mean, last week I thought that was a testament to our fans, you know, to have over 90,000 people at our game. I thought that was in our student body. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool, you know, didn't have to be here. It's Thanksgiving. And so I think there's a lot to play for at Penn State, and I think our guys realize that. I respect the question. I really do. But I don't want to get into the details of Mike's knee injury. You know, he won't play against Wisconsin, and, you know, that's a tough deal for us, and it's an even tougher deal for him. But, you know, as time goes on, I'm sure you'll hear about the details of his injury. But I can't comment on that right now. Well, I think it's fantastic. I think that it's funny. It's not the Big Ten anymore, right? It's the Big 14 now or something like that. I think it's pretty cool. I think you have the East Coast market now, and for many, many years Penn State was the East Coast team, and now we, you know, to me, we're starting to get that whole Atlantic corridor there, and those are two great schools with really good football traditions. And you know, I worked at Maryland, and I coached there for Ralph Regan, who I, in my opinion, did a fantastic job there. And you know, I can remember we had some, when I was there at Maryland, we had some great players: Vernon Davis, Sean Merriman, DeQuell Jackson, Josh Allen. Just we had some really good players. We beat Florida State 1 year there. We were 10-3 1 year. Beat West Virginia twice in the same year, once in the Gator Bowl. So, you know, it's going to be fun to have them in the league. And I guess Rutgers is official here at 2 or something like that. I don't know, but sounds like they're coming in, and I think that's great too. And you know, it's going to be fun to play against them. Great coaching staffs there with Randy, and also down at Rutgers. And be fun to recruit against them and play against them.
That's Bill O'Brien. His football team going through senior day Saturday at Beaver Stadium with a 3:30 kick run beginning at 2:00 on this Thanksgiving Day. This show is being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Coming up in the next half hour, my sit-down on the Lenape Solar Hotline with Darrell Clark, the former Nittany Lion quarterback, on Matt McGloin and the 2012 season for the Nittany Lions on this Thanksgiving Day on News Radio 1070 WKOK.